Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Empowerment Place. This is another episode of Using My Keys broadcast with your host, Valerie Burrell. Grateful and thankful to God for another opportunity to come and share relevant kingdom teaching with our listening audience. This month we have been talking about leadership and leading God's way. We've had guests on talking about the perspectives of leadership, the challenges of leadership, the do's, the don'ts, the attributes and characteristics of a leader. And with this last Sunday in this month, we're going to finish out leadership, but we're going to talk about some leaders that were women. As we are in society, most of the times you see great leaders being portrayed as men. Even in Bible times, most of the leaders that are notable are men. There are very few listings of women, but they existed. So this morning we're going to talk about leadership, be that leader. And I'm speaking to my sisters this morning. And fellas, I want you to take heed to what's being said, because I want you to encourage some woman today, a sister, a mother, a friend, and a significant other. Encourage them and what they've been called to do, because there is indeed a leader in each of us, and we're excited about that today. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this teaching time. We thank you for your presence, your anointing. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking now like you've never spoken before, to lift up and empower those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit is speaking. We thank you for your word. We ask that there would be no hindrances, but that this would go forth and do what you desire it do. We count it done now, and we give you all praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to thank you all this morning who may be joining us for the first time through Faith in Richmond. We're grateful for the opportunity to be able to share our information on that website, faithinrichmond.com. So thank you so much for joining us on today. We're going to take a look at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 34. Again, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 34. I'm reading to you from the Spirit-filled Bible, and it reads this way. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their deed, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. I went to verse 35, and I wanted to put that in there. Here in this passage of Scripture, you are hearing about men in leadership, the prophets, and how through faith they subdued kingdoms and worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. As much as that applies to men, ladies, I want you to know that that also applies to us. The first woman we're going to look at this morning is Deborah. Deborah, the prophetess, Deborah, the judge. And you'll read about Deborah in Judges chapter 4 and chapter 5. But I just want to highlight a few things about Deborah before we move to the next one. Deborah was, although she was a judge, Deborah was a wife. Deborah was a prophet. Deborah was an agitator. She was a ruler. She was a warrior. She was a poet. She was a maternal figure. Deborah was a leader. Let's see if you see any characteristics of Deborah that are in you. says Deborah was a fifth of leaders or judges of Israel raised up by God to deliver his people from the bondage their idolatry had caused. An instant both in word and deed, she fulfilled her role as judge at a time when men tried to do right in the sight of their own eyes. Woo! And tried to do right in the sight of their own eyes. As the position of a woman in those days was of distinctly subordinate character, Deborah's prominence as a ruler is somewhat remarkable. All Israel was under her jurisdiction, and from the palm tree bearing her name, and elsewhere called the sanctuary of the palm, she dispensed righteousness, justice, and mercy. After the victory over the nation's foes, she ruled with equity a land that had rest from war and captivity for 40 years. As a warrior, having fought with words, she went forth to throw off the oppressor's yoke with swords. And what a fighter this patriarch and inspired heroine provided to be. Deborah sent for Barak, the son of Amnon of Naphtali, and told him that it was God's will that he should lead her forces and deliver the country. She had wisdom. Okay, so Deborah was strong. Deborah was a warrior. Deborah knew how to use the wisdom of God to get things done. Deborah was a prophetess. Deborah is one of several females in the scripture distinguished as being endowed with a prophetic gift, which means the ability to discern the mind and purpose of God and to declare it to others. In the days of the Old Testament, prophets and prophetess were the media between God and his people Israel, and their gift to perceive and proclaim divine truth stamped them as being divinely inspired. Is there something in Deborah that can say to you, be that leader? Now, Deborah was without obstacles, as life is with all of us. Sometimes, and I'm sure Deborah was a strong-minded woman, sometimes women, we are very, we are very stern in our, we are know-it-alls. I'm using that word because that's one of the words me and my husband use a lot, because we both have wisdom in various things, and, you know, he's an expert in some things. I'm not quite. But we have our own opinions about how some things are. And so when we have these conversations, sometimes it appears that because I feel like I know it all and because he feels like he knows it all, we stand off. But actually, it's used to bring us closer together, because the word tells us that in all thy getting, get understanding. So what am I saying here? That as Deborah was a leader, Deborah also had understanding of who she was and how she should operate and what she's been called to do. Sometimes when women get authority and women are given position, sometimes we don't know how to manipulate that thing. We don't know how to properly use what we've been given because we've never had a taste of power. But if we get a little bit of power, sometimes we lose our mind. Now, I'm saying this because I'll take motherhood. Motherhood, being a mother and raising children, probably one of the most significant roles in a woman's life. Now, I'm not saying that because you don't have children, you don't have this same capacity, but I'm saying that for those of us who have given birth and raised children, raising children put us in a role of leadership like none other. We have been blessed by God to bring forth a life, and then his intent is that we nurture it, train up the child in the way that they should go so that when they're old, they won't depart from it. He's placed us in the role of a leader. But do you recognize that? Do you recognize the strength it takes to being a mother? Raising them when they're small is easy. They don't talk back. They don't give you lip. They don't act up. They're pretty docile, and they're easily managed. But once they become teens, doing their own thing, it becomes a challenge sometimes to know that you birthed this child out of your womb, that God gave you this child, that you were to raise this child, to nurture this child in the fear and admonition of God, and now this child has some lip for you? Ah, that's another whole story. Let's go back to Deborah. Deborah was a leader. Deborah was a judge. Deborah was a prophet. And Deborah ruled well. Somebody on the line this morning knows that you're a leader. Even have the gift of prophecy or the capacity to prophesy, to speak, to be that medium between God and his people. Said about Deborah that Deborah was a ruler in a time where men were seeking righteousness in their own eyes. If we're not in that time now, we'll never be. When men are pleasing themselves, when they're seeking to do things that will appease the flesh, and it's so very contrary to what the Word of God says. But God wants to know this morning that despite everything that you've gone through and every kind of way that you're feeling, are you ready to stand up and be that leader? Let's look at Esther. Esther, who was a woman, who was a leader, woman who saved her nation from genocide. We've talked about Esther before many times here on the Empowerment Place, but Esther showed strength. Esther was groomed for leadership, not even recognizing what was taking place. Esther was groomed her for this place as queen. That's who she was. Some of the lessons to be gained from the fascinating story of Esther are this. First of all, her record abides because she was one who kept her pledge. She obeyed. She obeyed. She was a patriarch and was not ashamed of her race. She was obedient. Now, a lot of times there's struggles in our lives. Word tells us it's obedience is better than sacrifice. Unfortunately, it's evident that people would rather sacrifice than obey. I struggle with that because I've had some consequences in my life because I didn't obey. I've had to face some hardships because I didn't obey, because I got ahead of God, or because God didn't answer when I expected him to, or he didn't say what I expected him to say. I took it upon myself to mean that I'm clear to move forward. And can you imagine at an airport and all the planes are ready to lift off and one is impatient because control hasn't given them clearance, so they take it upon themselves to just move. And in the very moment that they move, another airplane is also moving and now there's a collision and people are injured. And all this calamity has taken place because I didn't want to heed. Leadership was saying to me to groom me to be that next leader. I did not want to obey the rule. I wanted to do things my way. So now I'm faced with some situations. Esther was one who obeyed. So in order to be a leader like Esther, you have to know who you are and not be ashamed of it. You have to obey according to what's been spoken to you. Look, we can't take what God says to us and try to manipulate that thing to work for us. Because in the end, we win when we do it God's way. But don't take what God has given you and try to trick God. Don't try to trip him. Don't try to trick him. Don't try to use him like he's working for you. Don't do that. Again, sometimes you get some power when you start understanding your potential, when you start understanding your purpose, when you start understanding your power, when you start understanding that you'd have dominion, because he's given us dominion, don't get big-headed. Obey him. Take heed to what he's saying to you. Be a witness. Esther had opportunities to glorify God, and she did that. Are you taking advantage of the opportunities to glorify God, or are you in turn glorifying? Being a leader, being that leader, means that you're not going to say, oh, I did this and I did that, or we did this and we did that. Nobody cares about that. And I'm not saying that people don't care, but I'm saying that's not the major thing. You're here to glorify God, not to glorify self. Ah, thank you, Lord. I was reading James last night. I was all in James last night. And this passage of scripture stuck out to me. Let me go to it really quick. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Acknowledging. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall exalt you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall exalt you. Do you know what that means? Humble yourself. Make less of yourself. Allow others to go to the forefront. It's okay. Wait to be exalted of the Lord and not exalted of man. You know, we hear all the time, man can put you up there, but as quick as man puts you up there, he'll pull you back down. Let me help you, ladies. We have friends, we have associates, because a lot of us don't have friends, and we don't realize that they're not our friends until we realize they're not our friends, but we have associates. We have a lot of associates, people that we deal with, we cope with, we hang out with, we work with, that seem to have similar interests, you know, got the same amount of kids, we got girls, you know, whatever. We have these commonalities. And then these things, there's always in your group a natural leader. A natural leader always comes forth. So when that natural leader is presented, don't brown those trying to get up under that leader thinking that it's going to get you somewhere. Don't be that one. But be the one who remains in your place, that stays in their lane, that continues to obey God, to continues to glorify God in all that they say and do, so that when it's time, God will place you where you're supposed to be, and people will recognize who you are, the truth of who you are, by what they see and what they hear. When we look at Esther, from her character, we learn these things. We're to seek divine guidance in times of difficulty. We're to obtain a knowledge of human nature so that we may know how to take advantage of any circumstances which may favor our cause if it be a proper one. When there is a necessity to be ready to renounce self and exert ourselves for the good of others. We just read that in James 4 about being humble. Something else we learned from Esther, to value and seek the cooperation of a fellow believer. And we've been reading Nehemiah. In Nehemiah 1, there were some footnotes before the chapter that said that we need the cooperation of others for the manifestation of our prayer request. So here we learn again from Esther, being that leader, that we value and seek the cooperation of fellow believers. Something else we learned from Esther, have to have confidence in God's providence, not to undervalue small things. We learn to acknowledge God as the author of all mercies. Word tells us to despise not small beginnings for a due season. being this leader, it means that you're going to obey God. It means that you're going to seek him for guidance, even in difficult situations, especially in difficult situations. Being this leader, you're going to renounce self. You're no longer going to talk about I and me, but you're going to talk about the greater good of all. You're going to acknowledge God as author of all mercy. You know, we get up in the morning and we say, God, we thank you for new grace and new mercy. Songwriter says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. I can imagine that Esther would have sung a song much like that. We also learn from Esther that there is a thing as righteous retribution. Haman received what he had proposed for others. He was paid back in his own coin. As a man soweth, that shall he reap. That's another thing that we learn in the book of Esther when we look at leadership. Haman had a plan, but that plan came back and nipped him. When you're a leader and you're doing it God's way, you don't have to worry about it coming back and nipping you because you've done it his way. You can expect the blessing. But again, when you're operating in self and not glorifying God, expect some challenges. Can you be that leader? Are you that leader? Take a quick look at one other. Oh, thank you, Lord. Ruth. We all know about Ruth. You know about Ruth? Ruth and Naomi? Thank you, Lord. Oh, we talk about Ruth. Ruth was a widow who had a faithful daughter-in-law. She was a determined woman. She was humble. She was an honored mother. Ruth was a leader. A leader in that she laid aside her needs, her desires, to help prepare her daughter-in-law, who stuck with her after the death of her husband, to be united with Boaz, another great leader. It was Ruth's declaration of love and loyalty for Naomi that shows us pure and unselfish devotion. Can you be that leader? One who operates in pure and unselfish devotion for others. Pure and unselfish. Pure and unselfish. Yeah. Well, I guess in that moment of pondering that pure and unselfishness, I was disconnected. Yes, well, that's the truth of the matter, that sometimes it is that way in our mode of not doing the things that God requires of us, in that mode and that moment of us not yielding to God, we can get disconnected. We can get disconnected. The long and short of it is that God has downloaded in each of us the capacity and the propensity to be a leader. God has given us the Holy Spirit, which resides on the inside of us, that's there to guide us in all truth. When we're not humbling ourselves before God, when we're not obeying Him, when we're not doing things according to His will, His plan, and His purpose for our lives, we often miss the opportunity to be that leader that He's called for us to be. Now, all of us have the ability to lead. Not saying that all of us will be president, all of us will be a CEO of a major corporation, a Fortune 500. Maybe we won't be the entrepreneur who has multi-million dollar businesses. Maybe we won't be that, or maybe we will. But the truth remains that God has given each of us the ability to lead. But it's up to us to pull up our big girl pants, strap our shoes, put our hair up in a bun if necessary, and do the work He's given us to do, to be that leader. To be that leader. The characteristics are in you. It's already in you. But you've got to see it for yourself. You've got to embrace the truth of who you are. If you've been going down the path wrong this morning, let's U-turn and go the path that God has set for us so that we can be leader. So, Father, we thank You this morning. We thank You for these examples in Your word. We thank You for Deborah. We thank You for Esther. We thank You for Ruth, these great women who exhibited characteristics that are even relevant today as to how we should lead, how we should know who You are, how we should represent You well, how we should remain humble and devoted, how we should stay affixed to the plan that You have for our lives instead of us being renegades and doing it our own way. Father, we ask that You would forgive us for all the times that we've turned away when You were prompting us to lead. We ask now, God, that You would come in, redirect, place us again on the path of righteousness for Your name's sake. And we count these things done now in Jesus' name. Amen. Listeners, thank you so much for joining us today. Not sure how God's going to move on next month, but I do know that on next Sunday, we will be coming to you live from Arlington, Virginia, talking about family and the importance of family. And I hope you join us. As always, we encourage you every day, do something to empower yourself. And once you've been empowered, we want you to take the responsibility to empower someone else. For as we go through life, we realize that we are the key to our own empowerment. And when we utilize the keys that God has given us, we have the ability to overcome all things. We love you. Thank you for joining us. God bless.